The White House said this week that President Biden will have a face-to-face meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin next month. But so far, there doesn't seem to be any plan for the president to sit down with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Biden's predecessor met with Kim three times, and those efforts failed to change the equation on the Korean Peninsula. Let's check in on North Korea with Jean Lee. She's director of the Korea Center at the Wilson Center. And Jean, welcome back.
Hi, I'm happy to join you.
Glad you're here. Well, we wanted to speak to you when we read about this letter Kim wrote this week to labor organizations. And in this letter, he promises to fight anti-socialist elements inside of North Korea. What do you make of what he's saying in this letter?
It's so intriguing, isn't it? I think that Kim Jong-un is, what we're seeing is that he's seeking to regain control over the people, over what influences them, over what they covet. And what's so interesting about this letter is we have so little access right now. North Korea shut its borders, just sealed its borders in January 2020. There's been almost no traffic. We have very few foreign diplomats are there, no Western journalists. That also means a lack of trade going across the border like they had in recent years. And I imagine an antsiness, especially among the elites, for those foreign goods that they had developed a taste for while living overseas. And so really trying to address that unhappiness I suspect he is sensing or hearing about among his power base.
What do you think he's referring to when he writes about anti-socialist and non-socialist practices?
Exactly. It's so interesting because I have seen, spent quite a lot of time in North Korea during those early years of Kim Jong-un's leadership. He took power in December 2011, and he did want to see his people, or the elites, I should say, become more worldly. And so you did see a lot more traffic across the border, especially to China, a lot more goods coming in. But now he can't promise those goods anymore. And so it's been an interesting push and pull for him because while he wants to open up, he also risks losing control over the narrative, losing control over what they want. So it is kind of pushing back against that opening up that he had championed earlier in his leadership.
Right. You're saying that he's worried about holding on to power. He's admitted in recent months that he hasn't been able to improve the North's economic conditions. Are the pandemic and U.S. sanctions taking a toll? Is this a sign that it's taking a toll on North Korea?
It's hard to imagine that it isn't taking a toll. And while he's acknowledging that hardship, he is putting the blame directly on the United States and on the pandemic. And I wouldn't say he's necessarily accepting the blame for the decisions he's making that are putting his people's lives in such a difficult situation. There's no doubt that the lack of goods going across the border both directions has had an impact. I do think that sanctions obviously have taken a bite, and so that is something that he will definitely have to keep in mind. I am concerned, however, that North Korea is ramping up its use of cyber as a way to get around the border closures, get around sanctions. That's something that we have to keep an eye on because that would make it harder for the Biden administration to use sanctions as a way to try to force North Korea out of its isolation.
You're saying cybersecurity. And also, what is the status of the nuclear program right now?
Yes. So with cyber, I'm co-hosting a podcast for the BBC right now. It's called The Lazarus Heist, and it is just about North Korean cyber to try to help us understand what the stakes are for North Korea so that we can understand why their cyber capabilities are so strong. I mean, this is a country so cut off from the world, from the internet, and yet they are producing some of the world's best cyber attackers. And so I am looking at that issue because I do think that they are looking for ways to prop up the economy and continue building nuclear weapons. And we have to remember that though they've gone quiet, they are still working on that nuclear program. They are still working on ballistic missile technology, with the intent of coming back to negotiations with the United States eventually, but in a much stronger position. And that has very frightening implications, not only for the Korean Peninsula and Northeast Asia, but for all of us. And so we're trying to make that link between, you know, the rise in cyber, where, how they're getting that money that they need, and where it's going.
Okay, with the 30 seconds I have with you, though, with all of what you're just saying here, will we see a Biden-Kim meeting anytime soon?
I don't think we're going to see one anytime soon. But I do hope that North Korea is looking at these signals and recognizes that they have the opportunity now with a leader who is committed to diplomacy and that they choose to come back to the international fold.
Jean Lee is director of the Korea Center at the Wilson Center. As always, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.